Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
I am your host, Jihad Muhammad, from Atlanta, Georgia. Our topic in the first hour, corny, it's not dating, it's how the righteous find a spouse. Tonight, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Sister A.T. Hammett of Austin, Texas, Sister Dawn Muhammad of Muhammad's Miles 25 North, New Jersey, and Brother Jamil Muhammad of the Wedded Bliss Foundation. They are all here tonight to jumpstart part one of the series by taking a scientific look into courtship, engagement, into a healthy marriage and relationship based on the teachings of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad and his servant, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan. In the second hour, we will discuss the divine message, the time, and what must be done. Part 22, with our guest at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks with Student Minister Charles Muhammad from Phoenix, Arizona, Student Minister Willie Muhammad of New Orleans, Louisiana, and Attorney Kenneth Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia. Also, boots on the ground. We will salute the soldiers of the Fruit of Islam who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call newspaper across America. So sit back, get your comments ready, get your questions ready, buckle up, let's ride. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. I greet the listening audience tonight in the panel with the greeting words of peace of As-Salaamu Alaikum. Dear brothers and sisters, friends and guests, we are embarking on a series that's a matter of national security, marriage, divorce, how to properly mate, finding a spouse, courtship, dating. There is a dilemma in America. The divorce rate in the first time around marriages is over 56%. And most people will tell you that divorce is a matter of national security. So we, the Fruit of Islam and the radio ministry out on the front line, have decided to try to do our part and to tackle this mighty powerful issue of courting and engagement and marriage. So I want you to sit back and be patient. This is part one of a series. You're not going to get all your questions answered tonight. It's a lot to tackle. It's a lot to digest. We only have 1 hour. So I want you just to sit back, relax. If you have some questions, fine. But for the most part, you might want to listen first and see, because your questions just might get answered. So right now, I'm going to see if we have with us tonight on the panel is our sister, A.T. Hammett from Austin, Texas, on the line. All right, she still hadn't gotten through, right, Brother Rafi? All right, from North New Jersey, we have with us the first sister captain under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan from the rebirth of the Nation of Islam. She's from Mosque 25, Sister Dawn Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, ma'am.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
How are you tonight, Sister Dawn?
I'm all praise for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Praise be to Allah. I'm glad to have you on tonight. Our brother tonight from the Wedded Bliss Foundation, student minister from Philadelphia. He was a student minister in Baltimore, Maryland. He was the regional minister in Atlanta. He was national spokesman for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one of the three national spokesmen for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is with the Wedded Bliss Foundation. He is our brother, my minister, Brother Jamil Muhammad. Brother Jamil Muhammad, are you on the line, sir? He's having a hard time getting through, too. All right. Brother Rafi, if you see Brother Jamil and Sister A.T., just let them come right on through. I know you got their numbers. So you could probably be able to recognize them when you see them.
Yes, sir.
All right, Sister Dawn, let me go ahead and start it like this. I want to get a good understanding of marriage, first of all, before we go into this courtship part. Let me ask you a question this way. What is the role of the woman in Islam in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as it pertains to marriage?
Well, you know, as we all know, that when a woman in Islam is getting married, her role is to, we want to be careful how we say this too, because some of the listening audience may think of it as a slavery type thing. When you think of Islam and marriage, you think of, oh, the woman is subservient to the man and she has no freedom, what have you. And that so couldn't be further from the truth. But the role of a woman in Islam is to become the scientist of her home, where she masters how to take care of her home, how to take care of her husband, how to rear her children. She masters cooking, cleaning, sewing. So she actually becomes the doctor of the house, the scientist of the house, the mathematician. She just, the one person, her role is to just make everything cohesive in her home so that there's harmony and balance. She's the console to her husband. She's the first teacher for her children. And she's her first marriage is, should be known, and more importantly, is that her first marriage and her first partner is Allah, God. And so when she has the mindset that she is married to the Supreme Being, mentally, morally, physically, and spiritually, then she can become the type of wife that she needs to be, because she's carrying that down to her physical husband that she's on the planet with.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Is Sister A.T. on the line yet? Okay, let me ask a question this way, Sister Dawn. What is courtship? And is there a difference between courtship and dating? And if so, what are they?
Well, there's a big difference, you know, just in the words alone. Courtship, you know, when you think of the word court, you're going to court. Somebody's on trial. You're asking questions. You're trying to get to the bottom line of something, to measure the scales in the balance to see if it meets the criterion that you're looking for. Dating is just something that you do. And nowadays, in today's way of looking at things, don't use the word dating, but dating is just a thing where you're going out with somebody. It doesn't have to be with the intention of being married. It's something that you get involved with because you are in the process or in the mindset that you want to be married. So you don't go through the courtship process just for the sake of finding what how many brothers you might like or how many sisters you might be interested in. Once you get into that courtship process, that's the process when you're saying, I found somebody I want to be married to. I want to see if this sister is the person that I would like to be my wife. The sister accepts the courtship role, and she says, well, this is the brother that I have been looking at anyways, so let me sit down and see if this is who will be compatible to be my lifetime partner. So there's a big difference. In courtship, you're going to court to find out if there's anything that would keep the two of you together to be husband and wife, and dating is a process where you're just going out there having a good time, and maybe if you luck out, it might be somebody 2, 3, 4, maybe even 10 years down the line that you might consider walking down the aisle with.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me go on this way then. I want to introduce a courtship and how it's applied. I got two scenarios here, and please feel free to stop me at any time to go into something that you feel the listening audience needs to know.
Okay.
Here's example one. Brother A is interested in Sister B. They have worked together at the mosque, attended many of the singles socials, and have had enough conversations where Brother A is now feeling that Sister B would be a great wife. He also believes she is interested in him as well. He wants to find out if she is available for courtship. He has already met with her father, who is supportive of Brother A's intentions. He goes to his brother Captain and they meet. Brother A, Brother Captain, Muhammad, may I speak with you for a minute? I'm interested in courting Sister B. Please give me the court form so I can find out her availability. Brother Captain M, sure, brother. Here is the form. Brother A fills out the form and returns it to his captain. His captain forwards his request to the Sister Captain X, who then meets with Sister B. This Captain X, Sister B, Brother A is interested in courtship with you. Are you available for courtship with Brother A? Sister B says, yes, I accept. I've always liked Brother A. This Captain X, Sister Captain X, contacts Brother Captain M and tells him she has accepted. If they are not familiar with the rules of courtship, the brother and sister captains meet with them and go over the rules of courtship and any questions they have. If the captains have concerns, they will share their concerns with the brother and sister. If the information is very sensitive, then they will ask to meet with the party to whom they feel they should counsel or share information so as not to embarrass the other. For example, Sister Captain X, Sister B, I have a concern that I need to share with you regarding Brother A. Brother A has a history of XYZ. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but have you taken this into consideration? Sister B, yes, ma'am. I have thought it over, and I would like to get to know Brother A better. Perhaps I may be able to influence Brother A in this area. Sister Captain X, okay. Sister B, I just thought you should be aware. Proceed with caution and keep me in mind that you cannot change someone. Keep in mind that you cannot change someone. They must desire to change on their own. If you need any help from me or Brother Captain M, please don't hesitate to ask. Sister B, thank you. Sister Captain, I will. Note, this captain's conversation with Sister B is held confidential, although in the course of courtship, Sister B should bring up these issues and discuss them with her court mate. Sister Dawn, you got anything you want to add to this or say about this?
I have to say to you, Brother Jihad, that because I have not been in the courtship process many years, because by Allah's grace and permission, I have been married for 23, going on 24 years.
Praise be to Allah.
Yes. And so if this is an official scenario of how the courtship process goes, when I was captain, it has changed a little bit. But much of what you have said as to what place. If the brother asks for the hand of the sister or would like to speak to the sister in courtship, then he does have to go through the captain and the sister. Then she can't say, oh, well, I wasn't interested in that brother, but of course I want to speak to him and see where he's coming from. That's not how it works. If you didn't have an initial interest in the brother, then of course you wouldn't even entertain that whatsoever. So So according to everything that you're saying there, it is the duty of the captain to make the sister aware of certain things, and it's very, very important that it's kept confidential. But if she's aware of certain situations, then she must bring that to the sister's attention, and if the sister insists on proceeding after that, then by all means she can do so, because she has had intermingling with this particular brother at retreats and things of that nature.
Okay. Now, it seems like Sister Captain X had an issue that she learned about Brother A that she wanted to inform Sister about, and Sister felt that she could maybe possibly help him with that issue. Is that normally the case in a situation like that? I guess it depends on if it's an infraction or whatever, or what.
It would depend on a number of things. You know, first of all, I don't think that, you know, a lot of times you don't necessarily want, unless the person has been a drug addict for years or something like that, or he's known to be a habitual beater on women, things of that nature. Sometimes it's best not to say a lot of those things. In the courtship process, you will find those. You should be able to find those things out if you're asking the right questions, if you're looking at the right things. Sister needs to go into the idea that she cannot necessarily change a person. That's not something that you want to try to do. You're not necessarily going to be able to change a person from their ways. You may be able to work through the teachings, being an MGT, and work to come out of some of the things that they do. But you can't go in with the mindset that I'm going to change that person.
You're breaking up, Sister Dawn. I don't know if it's the reception or what, but every other word is coming in broken up.
Oh, I apologize for that. Can you hear me clearer now?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you a little bit better.
Okay.
Okay, so you were saying about as far as changing a person, or say that one more time?
Right. A sister should not go into a relationship, and this is in the nation or otherwise, that you're going to change somebody. You know, you shouldn't have that mindset. You know, you can, I don't want to say that you can't change a person, but if you work scientifically, like we know that we should do through the teachings, to help a person come around some of the things that they do, then there are certain things that you can change about a person. But most of the times, don't go into a relationship, I'm going to make him the type of person that I want him to be. I'm going to make him change. You just don't want to go into a relationship like that, because then if you don't change a person, what you could change them into, then you're going to be solely disappointed for that.
Okay. All right. Is Sister AT? Yes, ma'am. I'm just having a difficult time. It sounds like every other word is kind of like getting broken up a little bit. All right. Is Brother Rafi, is Sister AT in queue yet?
No, sir. I don't see her number.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, here's another example, Sister Dawn. This is an interesting one. Brother K and Sister H grew up in the nation. They have known each other for most of their lives, and their families know one another very well. Brother K is interested in marrying Sister H. He meets with Sister H's father. Brother K, Brother D, I would like to meet with you about your daughter. Brother D, yes, and what are your concerns about my daughter? Brother K, well, sir, I am interested in courtship with your daughter, and I would like your blessings before asking for her. Brother D, well, I have always liked you, Brother K. Tell me, what are your qualifications? Brother K, sir, I am a believer. As you know, our families have grown up together in the mosque. In addition, I have demonstrated that I am a good provider. I have supported myself for the last 10 years. I am dependable, responsible, and I am not entangled in any legal or financial problems. Sir, I am not perfect, but I am spiritually, emotionally, physically, and economically prepared to take care of a wife and family. Brother D, well, son, I have always liked you. Yes, you have my blessings to court my daughter. You know, you can always come to me and my wife if you have any questions, concerns, or if any problems comes up. Please, Let me know how things progress. Brother K, thank you, sir. Later, Brother K meets with Sister H. Brother K, Sister H, you know I have a great deal of respect for you, and we've been friends for years. I really am interested in getting to know you better to see if we would be compatible for marriage. Would you accept my offer for courtship? Sister H, yes, I accept, and I look forward to knowing you better as well. Brother K then goes to meet with Brother Captain M. He wants to inform him out of courtesy that he is in courtship with Sister H. Brother K, Brother Captain M, may I meet with you for a minute? Brother M, sure. Brother K, what's on your mind? Brother K, well, sir, I just want to inform you that I've met and received a blessing from Sister H's father to court her. I wanted you to know, in case anyone else expresses interest in her, that she and I are in courtship. Brother Captain M, thank you, Brother K, for informing me. I will immediately let Sister Captain X know that this sister is off limits in case anyone should inquire about her. The sister should also go ahead and inform her sister captain. The captains meet with them and go over the rules of courtship. Note, if either of the captains have any concerns regarding the brother or sister, they will counsel with one or both of them as mentioned in example one, but not seek to control the relationship. If the sister asks for the brother, she would follow up with her sister captain. In addition, if the sister initiates the process and the brother accepts, he should meet with the father to express his intentions and ask for his blessing. Sister Dawn, what say you to this one?
Well, first and foremost, from what I have known from the teachings, the brother would have to go to the captain first. He could not even go to the sister and express any of that officially through the captains of the mosques before they even speak to each other. You know, the main thing here is that the sister may not, she may not have that interest that the brother has in her. And so for him to go to her and say it before he's going to the captain, you know, because you want to try within the nation to avoid, well, five or six brothers have asked for me, and I know the names of the brothers who have asked and all that kind of a thing, you know, to keep a lot of madness down with that, you know. So I in everything that I've known through the courtship process, that would not be the way to go in that particular part of the scenario, that this brother would go to the sister before he has gone to the captain to say anything.
Oh, I see. So he shouldn't go to the family member first, the father first, and try talking to the father, because I noticed he said that they've been families, you know, they've been in the nation and their families have been close and all
and
that.
That's all fine, well and good, but like I, you know, the sister, you know, she may be looking at him as a big brother or a brother or just the fact that they're family members and that they're close. You know, if he's casually having a conversation with the father and saying, you know, I'm interested, then the father being the nation would have to tell the brother, well, brother, you know what you have to do. You certainly have my blessings if that's what your intention is for my daughter, but you would need to go to your captain and let the captain know what your intentions are so that you can do the things properly. Everything that needs to be done within the nation to avoid a lot of confusion has to be done the proper way. And we lose the respect for one another when we start doing things in and out of the proper way that things should be done. And so since there's a way that it's set up and the way that it should be done, to take shortcuts in what the process is would take away from what it is. And so my very humble opinion, it's one thing to speak.
And in breaking up again, Sister Dawn, can you? I'm sorry, you broke up again, Sister Dawn. Say that one more time.
He should go directly to his captain. The father of the daughter should let the brother know, I respectfully, I'm honored or that you.
She's breaking up again, Brother Rafi. Can you hear?
And it's unfortunate.
No, sir.
I'm getting breakup from the other side.
She's really breaking up really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Is it maybe it's your area, Sister Dawn, or what?
Might be. Cell phones, I don't know. Let me see if I can move a little. Is that more clear?
Try it again.
Is that clear?
Yes, that's clear.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right. How's that?
That's much better.
Okay.
Okay, I'm sorry. What were you saying now?
So I don't know how much was heard or not heard, and I apologize to the audience for the disruption. Everything that's done needs to be done in the proper manner. There shouldn't be any shortcuts taken. It shouldn't be any, I'm going to go this way and do my thing. It's one thing for the brother to have gone to the father because he's known the father, was raised in a family type of an atmosphere. But in still doing so, the father should let the brother know, brother, I appreciate you coming to me. That would be a wonderful thing if that's what he wants for his daughter. However, you need, if he's and the father's in the nation as well, then you need to go to the captain, express that to the captain so that your process can be done and started the proper way.
Okay.
Because you have a lot of in-between stuff that will cause a whole lot of confusion and stuff with that.
I see. Well, you know, Mother Tynetta has something to say in this manual as well as Brother Minister Jibril, and they're talking about friendship first and courtship.
Right.
And it says the best case scenario is for brothers and sisters to be friends.
Right.
Not according to the word's definition of friend, but friend as a brother or sister in Islam as defined in the Holy Quran. At the least, they should
Absolutely.
Be acquainted with one another. What do you say to that?
And that's 100% correct. And I want to add something, too, that the minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, told me several years ago, because a lot of times we have brothers and sisters say things like, well, I don't love him now, but I can grow to love him. Or the sisters in the nation, she believes in Allah like I believe in Allah, so I can grow to love her. That's a false statement. You don't grow to love somebody. You grow to grow in more love with someone. But if you don't already have some kind of feelings for that person, for the growth to even be there to start, don't trick or fool yourself into saying just because we're Muslims and just because we're in the nation that we will strive together, we will learn to love each other, we will grow to love each other. You do have to have a friendship first. And that's where, you know, the spookyism that some of us fall into, not talking to a sister, you know, first thing you see about a brother or sister is their physical being. And then you learn to talk to the person and find out. And then you work together with each other within the nation and what have you. So you do have to be friends. With one another, and then your friendship grows and blossoms into a love that becomes a husband and a wife and a marriage. So absolutely 100% agree with what Mother Tynetta did say in that regard.
Okay. Confidentiality in courtship. When a brother or sister enters into courtship, they must keep what they learn of one another confidential between the two of them, particularly if the courtship does not result in engagement and marriage.
Absolutely.
What say you to that, Sister Dawn?
I'd say that's a way to respect each other. You might be courting somebody, and then it just might be one little thing that you just don't like. I don't like the way he fixes his bow tie, or I don't like the way he may have raised his voice or something, or whatever went on. Something that's not for you is definitely for somebody else. Something that you don't want to deal with, somebody else would be willing to deal with and would be able to help a person with a particular problem. So you would do a very grave injustice to a person by belittling them, by trying to defame them or try to make them something that they may be able to become a better person at later. So whatever you didn't get along with or dislike, you should stay away from that. If a sister comes to you and says, well, how come you didn't marry the brother? Well, there was something there that I didn't like, and it may not be something that you wouldn't like, but I don't want to discuss it because it wouldn't be fair to you or to the brother. It just wasn't for me. So diplomacy in all that you do and say in regards to that is very important. And, yes, confidentiality is a must.
Okay. Okay, here's one. What questions should be asked and not asked in courtship? Do not ask questions that would lead you down a slippery slope of immorality. For example, do not call someone at night and ask, what are you wearing? Questions should be focused on, but not limited to, getting to know the character, values, goals, intellect, morality, views, plans, background, and health of a person. What's the use of doing?
You know, all that is very, very important. Some of the key questions that you might want to ask someone, how do you plan on raising your children? You know, because a lot of times brothers and sisters get married and we find that we don't agree with certain things about raising children, what you would do, wouldn't do, how you would say this, how you would say that. So you need to ask very, very key questions. You know, what you're sleeping in, that has nothing to do with anything, you know, later on down the line. That's what's important for you, then that's fine. But what's important, how are we going to handle, how would you handle finances? I make $56,000 a year. You make $47,000. Is that a problem for you that I make more money than you? What would we put our finances together? You know, you had a previous wife. You have previous children. How was the relationship with your previous wife and with your children? How would that affect you being a father to my children? You know, how is the father involved in your children's life and vice versa? So there are many, many questions that you need to ask that are so much more important and pertinent to a marriage than what are you wearing tonight and, you know, that type of a thing. Even down to what type of music do you like? I don't want to sit in my house and listen to somebody listening to something that's crazy, and I like listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire. So you really need to understand a lot of little things make a difference, but the big things are important as well.
Okay. Here's one. It says, I'm encountering difficulties in my courtship. Is that a sign that I should end it? All of us need help. No black person in America is without a problem. This is a problem world. So when you marry a problem that has to be solved. Beautiful problem, but a problem. That's by the Honorable Louis Barker. What you say to that, Sister Dawn?
Well, here's...
I guess it depends on the problem.
No, you need to know what your tolerance level is. You know, what it is that you just really won't tolerate and what you can and can't deal with. You know, that's a very, very deep question to answer, like just very quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Right. That's right.
As a person who's been married for 23 years, I can tell you that to the sisters, you really have to learn the ins and outs of your man. You have to learn what his boiling points are. You have to learn how to diffuse what's going to make him angry. You have to learn what to say, what not to say to get him to a certain point or to bring him down from a certain point. You have to realize that, scientifically speaking now, the damage that the black man has been done to in the society. And so do you deal with him as a Negro, or are you going to be Negro?
You're breaking up again, Sister Dawn. Yes, you're breaking up again.
Okay. Are you going to deal with your husband as a Negro? Are you going to be a Negro dealing with a Negro? Or are you going to take the God level and be a Muslim woman under the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and really deal with him as a Muslim woman should deal with this man? And that's the way the brothers should look at it as well, too. You're not dealing with a Negro, dealing with a sister who's striving to be an MPT. But I want to make a clarity with that, too, Brother Jihad.
Yes, ma'am.
A lot of people say, well, I married a FOI, and I was expecting him to be such and such. You married a brother who is in training to be an FOI, but you married a man. And you married a man who is striving like you to be godlike. And so the brother, same way with the sister. You didn't marry an MGT who all of a sudden knows how to cook, clean, and all that kind of stuff. You married a woman first who was an MGT striving to become a better one. And so I think I kind of got a little confused with that, but I don't want to confuse the audience with it. However, we need to take the labels off and realize that we are dealing with a person and a human being. Because a lot of times men like to say, well, you're supposed to be an MGT. You're supposed to know how to do this, that, the other. And the sister will say, well, you're supposed to be an FOI. Well, you need to be the MGT that the FOI wants to come home to, and you need to be the FOI that the sister wants to come home to her as an MGT.
Wow. Okay. Is our sister AT on the line? Sister AT, are you there? She gave me a text, Brother Rocky, and said that she was on the line.
Okay. See her now. Your mic is open, Sister AT.
Assalamu alaikum, ma'am.
Yes, wa alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine. Thanks to Allah.
Wait, you're on the line with Sister Dawn. Brother Jamil got caught up. I don't know if we're going to be able to get here in time or not. But I wanted to, what inspired this courtship manual? You're the writer of this courtship manual with some tremendous help. But what inspired you to do this?
Yes, sir. I was at our very first retreat. First, let me just say, assalamu alaikum to all the guests. I'm very honored to be here, be back here again. I'm very thankful
yes,
that you had me on the show. But to answer the question, at our very first retreat in 2004, the believers had a lot of questions. And a lot of those questions had not been addressed or answered or clarified in a lot of the courtship information that we had. I said, well, you know what? Let's take down the questions. And if we can, we're going to try to get these questions answered. I'll present it to Minister Farrakhan if I ever get the opportunity. And so basically that's how it came about.
Okay.
We had a list of a whole bunch of questions from that very first retreat, which was in August 2004 in Prescott, Arizona. And I finally did get a chance to meet with the minister. He happened to be in Atlanta speaking, and I just so happened to be able to, I was able to squeeze, I'm sorry, wait a minute. That was leading up to the retreat. I'm getting my stories mixed up. I was in Arizona, and the minister was there. I was actually at home visiting family. Minister Farrakhan happened to be there as well. And I had the questions. I talked to my father about helping to facilitate me meeting with him, and that's how it happened. We were able to make it happen. Got a tape recorder, recorded the minister, and just basically he answered each question one by one. Recorded it, sister transcribed it, and we put it in the courtship manual. Well, we didn't put it. That was the basis of the courtship manual. And along with that, we added additional information. And so the basis of the courtship manual are the words from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which you see in there, the Pearls of Wisdom, and the interview from Minister Farrakhan, and then information from Mother Tanetta, Brother Jabril, and some pioneer believers. That forms the basis of it. And then the other information we added in from a few other believers who had some contributing material to put into it.
Right. Right.
So that's basically
now,
how it came about.
Now, this manual could be for anybody, or it's just for registered believers, or what?
It was written for the believers in the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
However, the information in it can be valuable and useful to anybody. However, some of the material in it you will see is directed to the FOI and MGT. And one of the things that we talked about was modifying it slightly to make it so that those who are not in the nation can also get the information and utilize it.
Okay.
And can't go into details now, but if you read it, you'll see how, you know,
okay.
The writing.
Right, right. Now, I want to take you to the new age courtship. And what do I mean by that? Social media. You've got a nice little thing in here on the social media. Now, let's talk about Facebook, for example. And
yes.
You have in here, be careful of liking every single status update on someone's social page. Excessive liking or commenting on every post can possibly be interpreted as flirting. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Yes, sir. I myself and a couple other believers came up with some of those pointers. It's not a don't do or do. It's mainly things for you to consider. But if you're on Facebook and you have somebody from the opposite sex who is constantly, hitting the like or constantly commenting on every last single post that you write, that person could possibly interpret that as you are interested in them. I mean, I've heard believers say that, and well, not just believers, but I've heard people say that. They took it that, oh, maybe this person is interested in me. Maybe they weren't, but who knows? But the thing is that that's just something that you should be aware of. It could be interpreted that way. That's all we're saying. And so we're saying if you're going to do that, then you need to be aware that, you know, somebody might take it like that. But, you know, if you know a person very well and they know where you're coming from, then, you know, that's a different story. But by and large, it could be possibly taken like that.
Okay, what about, okay, let me stick right here with social media for one minute.
Brother,
if you find, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, and you know, I wanted to say that because, you know, some brothers and sisters, we can never, sometimes you just don't know the mental state of mind of a brother or a sister. And sometimes you can do a little and somebody could take that little and it can mean a lot to them. Or some people, you give them an inch, they can take a mile. And let me give you an example. There was a brother who had an interest in me. This is years and years ago. And the brother, I don't know how in the world, he actually started stalking me. And, you know, stalking and leaving, I mean, just following me, I mean, just the whole nine, stalking. And one day I confronted him and I said, "Brother, what in the world made you ever think that I was interested in you?" He said, "Well, sister, we were at the mosque and you blew me a kiss." And I was like, "Whoa, I don't blow nobody kisses." So I said, "Brother, I think, I don't know what happened." I said, "Maybe I coughed and sneezed and it was in your direction and my covering my mouth, maybe you misinterpreted it, but I don't blow kisses at brothers." So sometimes you never know the state of a mind of an individual. So you do have to be kind of careful in terms of interacting with people, and especially on Facebook where you don't necessarily know the person. I mean, unless you know them, you're in the same city, you all kind of know each other. But a lot of times we have Facebook friends and people that we don't know, never met them in person. So you never know how somebody can mistake what your actions are. So that's a broader context that I would like to put that in.
Okay. And then you also talk about if you meet someone online that you are interested in, follow the courtship rules and check with the captions. Right, okay.
Right.
It is recommended that you – yes, ma'am, go ahead.
No, same principle. A lot of times you don't know the person. You need to find somebody, you need to check and find out who is this person, you know. And the first place that you should start with is that person, the student laborers in that particular person's city.
Okay. Now, this one here is kind of a little bit, I got questions with. It is recommended that you don't start privately chatting with someone until after you start courtship. I mean, do you think that's the real approach? Because a lot of times you're talking to people, they may want to chat with you about anything. It may not be about you in particular. It could be about a job or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know where the conversation is headed, and if the conversation is headed towards "I like you and I want to possibly really get to know you." I mean, if this conversation is steering towards the direction of courtship, that's what that's meaning. Because I interact with brothers and sisters all the time, inboxing me, you know, things of that nature. But when I know the conversation is headed towards a certain direction, then you have to follow some type of protocol. But getting to know somebody online, friendly chatting with somebody, and we do a lot of group calls, and we've done some group chats in the past with the believers, single believers, to get to know each other. That's a little different. But if somebody is attempting to, I would say, court you with the possibility, you know, or the aim of finding out about you as a possible for marriage, then you really need to follow the protocol and go through the proper channels the way we've been prescribed for.
Okay. Have we had any, statistically, do you know if there have been any successful marriages made from people in social media? Has that been done already, or is that just still something that's too new?
Well, we have not, We've kept stats in terms of the believers coming to the retreats and those believers who get engaged. We do ask them. We need to restart it. We had a sister who was doing that, but unfortunately, she got married and no longer able to do it. But we were keeping stats, so I would have to find out from her how many of those were the result of social networking. And, you know,
okay,
versus I met this person at the retreat or elsewhere. So right now I can't answer that fully.
Okay. Sister Dawn, are you still there?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to add something. Assalamu alaikum, Sister A.T.
Well, alaikum salam. How are you?
I'm fine, by his grace and yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say with the social media that your respectability, no matter where you are, is what counts, too. It's all a matter of how you carry yourself as well. So even on the Facebook page, you know, a lot of sisters with the puckering up of the lips and the come and get me not too fast looks and what have you, you know, you send all kinds of messages with that as well. And so we have to learn in the way we carry ourselves social media-wise or just on the street and what have you, says a lot about you. So
okay.
It would make more sense for you to be very, very characteristic about yourself, like what it is, especially if you are a single sister and maybe you are trying to find somebody, and if that's your way of trying to do something, then be very, very careful to know that how you set yourself up in that manner is what you might attract. And even if you are inboxed with someone like that, then your character as a sister needs to get right back with that person and tell them you need to do this the proper way. You don't counteract the flirtatiousness with flirting back, and that's
okay,
by way of the brother or the sister. You know, it's maintain your level of respectability and who you are and who and what you represent.
Okay. Now, what about this? These two questions I'll get you two out of here with, because we're going to be going straight into the second hour in a minute. And this is just the introduction to part one of the series. So let me go ahead and start here. Two questions. Chaperone and courting people who are not of the nation, as we would say, lost, found, or whatever the case may be. What is the process with that? Do we still, is that something that's taboo, unadvisable, or what say you on that? I'll go, Sister Dawn, you first.
I have to say this in a number of ways. I remember speaking to a brother in the nation, and he said to me that the reason why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that it was harder for the sisters to be in a courtship with a brother or to marry a brother who is not within the nation, because they have the sister follows and goes under the rules of the brother and his household.
Mm.
So, you know, the brother wants to celebrate Christmas and what have you, you know, you don't have any authority over that. And then the brotherhood has no authority over that man's house as he would if that was an FOI. Not to, you know, you can't help who you fall in love with and all that, but if you are striving in the way of Allah and the Messenger, you know, I personally don't want to be married to anybody but an FOI in the nation. You know, brothers bring sisters in that they meet, or you know, you may come in as a person who hasn't, whose sister hasn't fallen into the ranks yet, and maybe by Allah's grace will eventually do so. So there's a lot to that. I don't know what the manual says, sis, because I haven't read it on that in that regards. But
mm-hmm.
You do bring some complications into your life. Doesn't always have to be that way, but you do bring some complications in with that.
Oh.
In my humble opinion.
Okay. Sister
yes,
A.T., would you like to chime in on that?
Yes, sir. Real quick, I want to agree with everything the sister said, and just from my own personal experience, you know, I before I got married, I got impatient, and I said, well, I'm going to date somebody not in the nation. I can't find nobody. So I dated a brother. About a month, didn't last. I laid down the rules. I said, there's no premarital sex, and I don't do this and that. And I caught myself laying down the rules, and that was the end of that. So when you think about it, it's like when I thought about it, what was I thinking? We don't even share the same values.
Right.
I can't even talk to him about X, Y, and Z that I could talk to FOI about. So it really it comes down to everything the sister said and your own values. You're not even compatible. And if you're looking for somebody to marry, you got to look for somebody who's compatible and who shares the same values and outlook and as you do. And usually those don't fare too well because usually somebody, if it doesn't break up, then somebody's going to have to compromise or give up their beliefs. And so, you know, that's giving up who you are. So that really doesn't last. Now, we do want to get into that more because I've heard the minister speak on it briefly. He spoke about sometimes relationships can develop between people, maybe your coworkers. But the thing is for the believer to bring that person over to their way of thinking. Otherwise, like I said, you're not going to find compatibility. And you have to maintain your value system and your practices as a Muslim if you are going down that route. Otherwise, like I said, you're compromising who you are as a mm-hmm. believer and as a FYMGT.
Okay, okay. Chaperone, how are we doing with chaperoning today? Say for example, you got maybe two people who were once married. This may be their second or third marriage. They're in their 40s now, and they feel that they don't really need somebody to be chaperoning. What say you to chaperoning today?
It's a necessity.
Okay.
Temptation is there all the time, and, you know, it doesn't matter your maturity level. Like I said, everything is procedure. This is, once again, I don't know what the manual says, so forgive me if it's saying mm-hmm. something different from that. But you should be chaperoned. It's for your own protection. It's to save you from doing something that will lead you into doing something that you have no business doing or take you off your guard or off your post or have you doing something other than what you need to do. So,
okay.
And if you are really trying to do the right thing, you won't mind a chaperone if you're 95.
Right, right. Sister A.T., what say you?
Yes, sir. The manual pretty much, we quote the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, pretty much nothing has changed. Now, we have elaborated on it because
right.
a lot of believers were under the impression that, oh, if I bring a chaperone to dinner with me, they have to sit there at the table with me. And that's not the case. If you have a chaperone with you, maybe they might be sitting in another part of the restaurant or something, but they don't have to be right there with you in your face following every last word that you say. So that's some of the finer details that needed to be clarified, as well as, you know, who pays, because there is a practice that the FOI pays for everything, including the chaperones. But sometimes that brother's pocketbook may not be able to afford everybody. So you have to compromise and work it out, you know, ahead of time exactly how you're going to do this. But the main thing is that the chaperones don't have to be right there with you as you're, because you, otherwise you're not going to get to know each other, not with people right there, you know, right there with you. So, and I do want to say something about the chaperone. I think, and this has been growing in my mind, and I want to ask Allah to give me more guidance in on it. I do believe that we have to really, just as a person, work to instill that righteousness in us that, you know, regardless of, you know, a chaperone there or not or whatever, that we maintain our righteousness and our the practices of Islam. Because I've known of situations where believers, you know, we have the brothers will follow the sisters home, for example, from the meeting.
Right.
Well, I knew a situation, I mean, it's just one example, you know, brother followed the sister home, walked her up to the door, and I don't know how it happened, but they ended up breaking the rules. So this wasn't even a chaperone outing or anything, but it happened like that. And I think we really have to work hard on following the right thing and doing the right thing, regardless of others being with us, around us, because you may be tested in a situation outside of a courtship, you know, for example, where do you let your righteousness just fall out the window? You know, am I making myself clear,
yes,
brother?
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
I,
yes, you are.
That's something that I want to get further into, because that righteousness or that Allah should be our number one chaperone wherever we go and whatever we do, regardless if it's a courtship or whatever. And I guess that's what I'm feeling, and I, you know, and that's something that we have to, I guess, work on or whatever. I don't know. It's something I'm thinking about. I've been thinking on very strongly because I've seen situations happen like that outside
okay.
of a courtship. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're running straight out of time. I want to ask Sister Dawn, is there anything you want to say, Sister Dawn, before we close out? Is there any comments you want to make? Is there anything that you want to stress to the listening audience before you go?
I just want to say that this is a very, very...
Oh, you're breaking up
done.
Again.
Okay.
You're breaking
it's a very,
up
very,
again.
It's a very, very important topic and something that needs to be discussed. And I just want to say for the sisters and sisters, keep yourself chaste and keep yourself respectable. And, you know, and brothers, respect that respectability that sister wants.
No. Praise be to Allah. Sister Inky.
Yes,
last
sir.
Words. I know you want to talk about
yes,
the single
sir.
Retreat. You got to give us
yes,
some information
sir.
On that.
Yes,
come on
sir.
And talk to us.
I'll say it real fast. Singles Retreat, NOI. Ninth annual NOI Singles Retreat will be held Spanish Lake, Missouri. That's a suburb of St. Louis. This August 22nd, 22s and 3s and 4s and 5. That's a Thursday night through Sunday morning, the 22nd through the 25th. There is an early bird special price of $230 per person. Covers everything, your lodging, your food, your materials, activities, everything. That has to be in by June 15th. After that, the price will be $250, and all fees are due by, you know, I don't have my calendar in front of me, but I believe that's by August the 16th. All fees
August,
are due.
Right.
Yes, sir. And you can get more information at www.healthyrelationships.noi.org. That's healthyrelationships.noi.org. You can get information as well as register. And the theme for this year is the time and what must be done, unveiling the science of mating. And we will
wow.
delve fully
wow.
into everything that it takes to build a whole new generation. And that happens through mate selection, knowing your purpose in life, and being able to compatibly match up with somebody else. And we're going to delve into that and other issues as well.
Well, Sister AT, I don't know what your availability is next week, but we would love for you to come back if you can. This manual, we're going to be dealing with it for the next couple of weeks in the series. So I don't know what
yes.
your availability is, but if you can come back, we would love to have you back next week.
Yes,
if not, let us know. We'll talk offline. You can let me know what's your availability. And I want to say, and I want to thank both of you for coming out tonight.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. I know we have problems as far as interference with the line, and Brother Jamil couldn't get here in time. So, but inshallah, next week, part two for the listening audience, we're going to go into some of the things that you need to look for in courtship. Some of us have mental illness. And Sister A.T. has a place in the manual on mental illness, and she is, I believe, Sister A.T., you're going to expand that part of the manual. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We do want to add to that.
Okay. And so next week we have another, we're going a little bit deeper now. We're going to be dealing with mental issues. We're going to be talking about rape, incest, child molestation, prison rape. There's a case in New York right now where a couple, a man and a woman, he wanted to have sex with his wife. She didn't want to, so he set her on fire. That's a big case going on right now in New York City. Mental issues. Now, how do we detect these things in a courtship? And this is what we'll be dealing with next week. We'll have somebody on from Dianetics, a marriage counselor on, a judge from the criminal justice courts, and hopefully Sister AT will come back. We're going to see if we can offer some solutions to some of the problems that we got. We only get 1 hour on this show because we do the time of what must be done in the second hour. Sister AT, is there anything else you want to add before you go?
No, sir. That's it for now.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for coming, Sister AT. Sister Dawn, thank you so much, sis, for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Brother Rafi.
the soldiers out there want to know who got their boots on the ground across America. What say you, Brother Rafi? Let's ride. Well, we want to give a salute to the fruit of Islam, the soldiers who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call news this week. Let's go down to Selma, Alabama. The soldiers of Selma, Alabama are locking it down. They're getting ready to receive the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Shout out, soldiers of Selma. Keep up the good work and lock it down. Norfolk, Virginia. Soldiers in Norfolk, and the soldiers in Norfolk has got the Final Call in the streets, and they are not to be denied. Hartford, Connecticut, yes. Soldiers in Hartford, Connecticut, and the soldiers in Hartford, Connecticut got their boots on the ground. Shout out, soldiers. Winston-Salem, North Carolina. That's right. FOI, North Carolina is not to be denied. In particular, Winston-Salem this week. The soldiers are in the field with the Final Call. Shout out, soldiers. Let's go west side, Stockton, California. That's right. Stockton is consistent with the Final Call newspaper. Shout out, Stockton. This is a salute to the soldiers, the FOI, the fruit of Islam, who got their boots on the ground with the Final Call newspaper. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. The soldiers in Nashville got their boots on the ground, and they are delivering the Final Call, trying to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan raise the dead to life. San Diego, California. That's my minister out there. Minister, student minister, you got the soldiers out in the battlefield, and they got the Final Call. They are not to be denied this week. Las Vegas, Nevada. Sin City. Sin City got some soldiers in Sin City called the Fruit of Islam, and they got their boots on the ground as they're slaying the enemies of God. Let's go on now to St. Louis. St. Louis has been consistent every week with the Final Call. Ain't nothing new this week. The soldiers in St. Louis got their boots on the ground, but our number one city with the Final Call news, with their boots on the ground, goes to Muhammad's Mosque number 45, Houston, Texas. The soldiers in Houston, Texas are fast moving, fast thinking, right down to the modern time. Minister Robert and the soldiers in Houston, Texas, salute, soldiers. Keep up the good work, and may Allah bless you. We want to give a special shout out to the people that's listening from Mexico, Belize, Dominican Republic, Africa, Australia. Shout out, y'all. We love that you tune in every week with us. Keep on tuning in. Inshallah, we'll get a report coming from you.
Okay.
Put your boots on the ground. Well, that's our first hour is gone. We're now right into smack dab into the second hour of our show. And as you know, we've been following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as best we can as he covers the 52-week series of The Time and What Must Be Done. Tonight, at the Farrakhan Speaks Roundtable Talks, we have with us tonight is our student minister from Phoenix, Arizona, on the line, Student Minister Charles Muhammad. Are you
yes,
there,
sir?
Salam alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful by Allah's help. How are you, sir?
Fine. All praise is due to Allah, just striving hard to make his word bond.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Charles, you've been a soldier in this work a long time, sir, and my hat is off to you. Salute to you, sir, and the work that you're doing in Phoenix, Arizona, sir.
All praise is due to Allah, brother. You know, it gets hot out here, but it's a hotter day coming. So we just keeping our shoulder and our hand on the gospel plow and following the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan lead to gain some ground for him and our nation.
Praise be to Allah, and thank you, sir. Is our brother from New Orleans, Louisiana. Hard working. He's got his boots on the ground, Louisiana. He's a hard working student minister down there. Is our brother, student minister Willie Muhammad, on the line?
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm on the line, and I salam alaikum to you and your host, and also to Brother Charles from Phoenix.
Walaikum salam, sir. How are you doing, sir? You've been a pretty busy brother down there. What's going on?
As the same thing, man. Working to make my word bond as well, my brother, to be found doing the work when the blog messenger, you know, and doing whatever we can do to put a smile on the face of the far time and to keep the believers happy as well.
All praise is due to Allah. Somebody got a phone ringing back there. Rafi, is that on my line? What's going on?
No, that was my phone. Sorry about that, brother.
All right. Okay. Yes, sir.
That was the landline.
All right. Is our attorney on the line from Atlanta, Georgia, Brother Kenneth Muhammad? Is he on the line?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir, I am, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing fine by Allah's grace. It's indeed an honor and a privilege, brother. I appreciate the invitation.
All praise is due to Allah, sir. Let me go ahead and start with Brother Charles, sir. Saturday, the time and what must be done, part 22. What sticks out at you? Give us a talking point that sticks out at you from this Saturday of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, sir.
Well, one of the things, brother, is the labeling of the anti-Semite being one of the tricks that they have used for many, many years. And that tweet has been tweeted. You know, we have a tweet party or a tweet workshop every Saturday where the believers come out and we watch the minister on the big screen and then we have one of our brothers have the tweet deck where we can see all the tweets from around the world going through, and it's so fast moving that it's really a beautiful thing to know that the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, trended number 3 in the world last week. That's a beautiful thing. But one of the
that's
things
right.
that stuck out for me, brother, was the use of the labeling of anti-Semite and how the minister broadcast the woman who was, I believe it was Amy Goodman, who was
Democracy Now.
Yes, sir. And that kind of stuck out. But there were many, many points that the minister made that were so prevalent and powerful that it's kind of hard to just pick out one. But
yes, sir. We're going to
get a powerful set.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Brother Willie, what say you, sir? What stuck out at you? Give us a talking point that stuck out at you.
Well,
just one for now.
One of the things that stuck out to me was the point that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan closed on with this exhorting to the message to the Nation of Islam and to black people as a whole for us to study the children of Israel and how they were blessed when they obeyed God and how they were cursed when they disobeyed God. And that's one of the things, you know, in this fight that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and those who back him against the synagogue of Satan, as believers, we have to understand that the minister's strength and his backing comes because of his righteousness. And that's what we have to understand, and that's where our strength and our backing comes from as well, because as the minister has told us before, you know, to clean up our lives so that when the death angel comes throughout our community in this country, we'll be spared because we will have the blood of the Lamb on the doorsteps of our homes, which really is on our minds and our spirits and, most importantly, in our actions.
Yes, sir. Brother Kenneth, sir.
Yes, sir, brother.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we must get acquainted with the world going out and the world coming in. What say you, sir?
All praise is due to Allah, brother. That's actually what I was about to say first. That was the first thing about to come out of my mouth. He started
to talk.
All praise
is due to Allah.
Yes, sir. He started to talk basically describing a transition period that we're in, where an old world is going out, but he pointed out that old world had its rulership, it had its leadership. If the old world is going out and a new world is coming in, then that new world is coming under new authority, new leadership. So the theme of his talk dealt with the conduct, the actions, and the tricks, really, of the rulers of the old, as they see their world slipping, their power slipping, their influence slipping. And as he dealt with the principles, the tricks, the tools at the disposal of the current rulership in exactly what they would do when they see the coming of God, the coming of the people, and the awakening of the people of God. It brought to my mind the study guide that we were given a long time ago by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan entitled Mixed Feelings and Controversy. And in it, in all of his study guides, he goes into a deep analysis of Scripture, Bible and Holy Quran, and he pointed out that when you look at what Allah God decided to show us about the lives of the prophets of the past, he showed what the messengers of Almighty God faced in terms of opposition. The followers of those prophets and messengers obviously are following a man that is targeted by enemies, and they then are looking at it and they have mixed feelings within themselves because they can't be like everyone else accepted in the mainstream. They have these kind of conflicted feelings going on because they're following a message and a man that is under attack. When you look at the followers of Jesus, the followers of Jesus are watching a man being crucified, and Jesus said about one of his disciples, before the cock crows, you will deny me thrice. And here's this man who, when he saw what was coming down on Jesus, basically said, who, me? I'm not with that man. Now, this study guide came to my mind because the minister dealt with the IRS, the FBI, the Anti-Defamation League, name-calling, particularly the name and title anti-Semite, that is thrown at the servant of God in our midst, and these tools that are used against the righteous and those that have chosen to follow this divine message that has come to the black man and woman of America, and what could happen when the people see intense opposition is they start getting mixed feelings and they start thinking, well, hold on, I don't want to be associated with someone called an anti-Semite. I don't want to be associated with someone that is under attack from the most powerful arms of the government. And why would Almighty God give us scripture about these prophets, and that's the majority of the books, talking about people that are trying to deliver a message and the opposition that they have to face? It's because we are living in the time where a man would stand up who would have the most powerful enemies, the most powerful media that there really has ever been in the last 6,000 years, hurling falsehood and negativity and really their criminal justice system soon at him.
Right. Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Ken. Brother Charles, sir, give us another talking point that you picked up on this Saturday, sir.
Well, it's a talking point, but it's really based in Scripture, brother, because we're looking at Moses and Aaron going against Pharaoh to charge Pharaoh and to demand that the children of Israel be let go. So in the seventh chapter of Exodus, we can see that Aaron and Moses, it says, so the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. Aaron's going to do that. This is what Aaron is doing. And another part, it talks about Pharaoh. It says, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show me a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, Moses going to say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent? So Aaron is following the commandment of Moses. And we know that is a direct correlation to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the relationship to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as the Aaron. So the power of Moses is kind of in the background, and Aaron is his mouthpiece out front. And he's laughing at, if you look at the demeanor of Minister Farrakhan as he was delivering his message, he was doing it with such joy. So he was smiling just about all through his talk. He was smiling and his tone was sky high, and he was hammering the beat. I mean, he was driving stakes through this vampire. He was driving on these devils, man, and he was loving it, and he was just in a very good spirit as he's doing it, because he knows he's backed by the world, by the Lord of the world. So it was just a beautiful, beautiful thing to see Minister Farrakhan work out, and how we will have to follow his guidance in doing the same thing. And at some point, we're going to have to get out there and walk on that water.
All praise is due to Allah. Yes, sir, that's absolutely correct. Brother Willie, sir, what say you? Another talking point?
And I think about, as Brother Charles was talking about, you know, going back to that point, as I mentioned, what the minister closed out on. And it's interesting, as Brother Charles was dealing with Moses and Aaron, you know, the scripture talks about how Moses and Aaron led the people through a Red Sea. And, you know, I had the opportunity to define the word, what the symbolism of the word red means. And it says that red is a color that symbolizes, one, it symbolizes when somebody's Lord desires in to a degree overpowers their logic. So basically, when we see the color red, it's talking about how somebody who has failed to rise above emotion to the thinking of God. Think about violence. But when we look at, when it says that his Red Sea was parted, Moses and Aaron, because they were following the guidance of God, and everybody who followed behind Moses and Aaron were able to walk through this Red Sea, this chaotic time, and not be touched. But then when the wicked came in after them, they drowned. So going back to this part about obedience, we have to even be obedient and even following the manner in which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is engaged in the synagogue of Satan. The minister is not doing this out of an hatred of Jewish people, and he's made
that's
that.
Right.
And the minister, in these last broadcasts, he's been doing an excellent job of distinguishing the true followers of the Torah in comparison to those who are following the Talmud, which is not the word of God, but is the word of rabbis, which are giving the synagogue of Satan the justification to lie, steal, and manipulate other people who don't fall within their frame of thought, right? And so that's one of the things that is standing out, because the minister is with this attack by engaging and teaching the community and teaching society. Say, listen, go and read this Talmud. Find out what it says about Jesus. You know, just that alone is going to begin to start waking us up. Because when people who begin to love Jesus realize that there's a book that people are saying are from God that's talking about Jesus, should he inhale and he should boil and excrement, they're going to begin to start waking up and begin to start asking questions. So that's one of the things that stood out to me as well.
Praise be to Allah. Brother Kenneth, another talking point, sir. What say you? Give us a talking point, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, the minister defined the word tricked. And when you look right now, the minister, I'll back up a moment. He has been on the social media of Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and he's really engaged the people. What it has allowed... And for all of the listening audience, I would suggest that they follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on Twitter and Facebook. But what it has allowed is you can see the comments of the people, and you see some of the things that, you know, some detractors believe and some of the things that they say. But in general, you know, the people can be placed in a couple of different categories. There is generally a mainstream thought in this country, and with regard to religion, there's mainstream thought around the world. Most people, they kind of fall in line with the mass thinking in terms of religion, in terms of the actions of the superpowers in the world, in terms of war policy, in terms of monetary policy. You generally see most people kind of falling in line with the types of sentiments that you'll see on CNN and Fox News and that sort of thing. And the people that are described in Scripture are really a people that you find bringing a message that was totally different, totally separate from, in the time of Moses, what was propagated among the children of, among the Egyptians. You saw a message later that was different from the Roman Empire. And really, with the message that has come to us here through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we believe we're following in that line because we're not saying something that isn't in the mainstream thought. But what this general desire that people have to kind of fit in to what is socially accepted, what that allows is it allows for the enemy to trick people by basically spreading information across his reach in television programs, in movies, in radio, and you see people kind of falling in line with certain lines of thought. The minister said that what you find propagated by Satan to misdirect the masses are tricks, tricks and lies. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan have taught us the root of these tricks. The Bible gives the root of these tricks. And really, it's what we find in this present world is a world that's dominated, that's clearly been dominated by the white supremacist mentality in terms of the history of colonialism, et cetera, white-dominated society. But you find the control of resources, the control of land, et cetera, among this group of people, but you don't find in our people, you know, any ability to analyze exactly what happened to them and exactly why they're in the condition that they're in and why whites have been able to do the things that they've been able to do to them. And the answer is it's all in a series of tricks. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointed out that the father of this world is the one that Jesus is referring to when he said, "You are from your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and the lusts of your father you shall do." He was talking about Yaqub, and the message that you find in the book of Revelation, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught, is actually a revelation that was given to Yaqub, who founded this present world and basically experienced or saw in a vision what the end of his world would look like. But the white society fell out of civilization when they went into caves and hillsides of Europe for a 2,000-year period. And Moses taught them, and we are taught in our lessons that he gave some of the forgotten trick knowledge that Yaqub taught them, which was devilishment, telling lies, stealing and how to master the original man. And this system of tricks, system of lies, is the core system that has been used to dominate the black man and woman throughout the world. And it is a very simple prescription that they've really given that is passed down to them originally through oral tradition. What you'll find a lot of the Jewish scholars saying is that they have the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament that was revelation from God, but they equate with it another book that comes from an oral tradition. And this oral tradition that they have had contains at its root this message where it is said that Moses taught them some of the forgotten technology that their father Yaqub taught them, devilish men, telling lies, stealing, and how to master the original man. And to understand and to expose and to be able to see the trick means that you can no longer be deceived. And that's why it's so important for the people to listen to this message from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan right now, because it's not the kind of thing that can fully be exposed in an instant for a person that has not been awakened to the tricks that are going on. But there is a definite deception that is going on from the synagogue of Satan, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is exposing it.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. Brother Charles, sir. Is Brother Charles still online?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Brother Charles, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said the members of the synagogue of Satan has always known that a day of reckoning was always coming. So over periods of time, they have put themselves in positions of power in every nation of the Western Hemisphere, and this was done to monitor the awakening of the Gentiles, the masses of the so-called heathens, savages, and goyim, and the masses of blacks. What say you, sir?
Oh, it's 100% true, brother. As I was listening to my brother and the comment that you just made, it makes me think that, you know, our people are deceived. We are blind, deaf, and dumb. So, but it's so much knowledge available today that no one really has an excuse not to bear witness to the truth. The question is, do they want to let Pharaoh go? The minister is jamming them to have Pharaoh let us go, but do some of us don't want to go from Pharaoh? That's part of the question. Now, the minister also said that only the good, only the best of us will adhere to the message when we hear it. The rest of us will have to be submitted by way of chastisement. It's going to take a divine whipping, a divine chastisement, a divine showdown between God and the synagogue of Satan and all of his imps, all of his imposters, to show the people who God really is. Through the tornadoes, through Hurricane Sandy, eventually they will be able to connect the dots. But it's going to take a whipping, brother, to really get our people to see. Because they don't want to lose the comforts. They don't really want freedom. They just want to be comfortable. They want to ride on the front seat of the chariot. You know, they want to go to the toilet with the Caucasian. They just want equal rights and access, you see. But freedom means responsibility. Freedom means that the first thing we have to do is we have to be able to feed ourselves. That means
right.
We got to go to the earth. We got to have some land that we can call our own. So this whole thing that's going on right now, this showdown is building up. It's building up. And when it hits, a lot of our people are going to be shaken to the core. Now, with that showdown and Allah backing the Honorable Louis Farrakhan through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to bring these plagues down on America, then the people will be able to connect the dots. But the question still remains, do they really want to let Pharaoh go? One of the other points, brother, from the minister's 22nd lecture in this series was the fact that how many of our people of black leadership have they used this label of anti-Semitism on? All the
That's
way
right.
back to Marcus Garvey, I mean, Mandela, Booker T. Washington, J.A. Rogers, I mean, the SNCC, Panthers, Corps, Martin Luther King Jr., we know Malcolm X, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Andrew Young, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And the people still seem to fall for these tricks because of the usurping of the identity of the real children of Israel. The Caucasian, the synagogue of Satan, has usurped the identity and the birthright of the inheritance, you know. And so Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long. And in the morning, he was blessed and had a name change. His name was changed to Israel. That Jacob was not the Jacob of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Yaakov. So this whole piece is happening because of this usurping of the identity and the inheritance that belongs to us, the original people, have been usurped, and now you have these foreigners in a land that they call Israel, thinking that the whole world that they are God's chosen people, but they are not.
All praise is due to Allah. And yes, sir, Student Minister Charles, he gives the names of, just to name a few, Booker T. Washington, Marcus Garvey, W.E. Du Bois, Martin
mm-hmm.
Luther King Jr., Malcolm X, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu, Kwame
mm-hmm.
Ture, Andrew Young, Kweisi Mfumi, Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton, Joseph Lowry, Jesse Jackson, the Nation of Islam, and Mahatma Gandhi, J.A. Rogers, James Baldwin, Michael Jackson, Oprah Winfrey, and the list goes on. That's just the name of a few. And then he named the presidents as well. Wow.
Anybody
yes,
with influence that can lead black people, guide black people, do any good for black people, he gonna strike them down with that nasty, ugly term that he uses to beat our people down, beat our leadership down, and to turn our people away from our black leaders. You know, it's really a shame, but we're waking up, brother. We're waking up, especially
That's right.
in light of Minister Farrakhan blasting this truth. You know, to wake our people up. You know, it's making a lot of people uncomfortable. Because they don't want to lose, they don't want to lose their association. They don't want to lose their association with the one who pays the bill, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of our entertainers, a lot of our sports figures, they don't want to lose that status, you know. But it's going to be broken. It's already written that your agreement will hell will not stand, you know.
Come on.
And so it's going to be broken, you know.
That's right.
The question is you know, every knee going to bow. The question is you going to bow willingly or unwillingly? But you will bow. You will bow.
Yes, sir. All praise is due to Allah. Brother
All
Willie, sir, are you still
Allah.
Are you still there, Brother
yes,
Willie?
Sir. I'm still on.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, Allah is here to bring in a brand new world.
Mm.
He's chosen the despised and the rejected, unloved and unwanted black man and woman of America to be the cornerstone of a brand new reality. What say you, sir?
Well, that's definitely, you know, that's the foundation of our teaching, that we teach that God came and left his holy land to come here and find the most rejected. You know, I often, when I teach about that, I often point out to the believers and to the guests that Allah, Master Farah Muhammad, wasn't looking for a specific color of people. If he was just looking for black people, he could have stopped in the Isles of the Pacific or Africa or Australia. But he was looking for people who have been damaged like no other. And the people that he found was us here in America. You know, and as what Brother Charles was saying, as he was talking about the nasty label that they put on people, you know, the minister said also in his last broadcast how he mentioned the attack dogs, the FBI and the IRS, right?
Mm-hmm,
and he said how they use them to target and harass people who have been labeled unjustly as anti-Semites. But look at how they do that, and look what Allah's been doing within the last weeks. He's been exposing their dirty laundry, how the IRS, who's supposed to be over people being accountable with money that they have, where they spent $50 million on just wasteless spending for retreats and all of this stuff, where they're partying on the taxpayers' dollars. And then you see even with this FBI, with the NSA, how God has exposed them, what Snowden came out and showed them how they are violating the very Constitution in which they talk about. And I heard a guy on NPR, he said that they asked him about, well, what do you think that's different with this administration? And he said the difference with this administration, speaking about President Barack Obama, he said that it has increased. And I don't know if you all know or not, but under President Barack Obama, he has prosecuted the most whistleblowers. That means he has prosecuted the most people who have come out and stood up on truth and say we are getting away from the foundation of the Constitution. And the last point, you know, when the minister talked about the dope busters and how they oppose that, you know, and here it was the effort. They always complain about black people being lazy. But here we want to clean up our community and oppose it. If you all get the opportunity, you know, the same thing took place here in New Orleans with Brother Dennis when he was giving a contract to train the New Orleans Police Department. And one Jewish rabbi came out and opposed it. And as a result of that, Katrina came, and the New Orleans Police Department was shown and revealed into the world as being one of the, according to the U.S. General Attorney, he said the most corrupt police department. But here they had an opportunity, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told Brother Dennis, the story is so awesome, but he quoted to Brother Dennis the scripture when he said that when Jesus told the disciples to go into a city, and if they reject your offer to help them, you leave and just wipe the dirt off your feet. And he said that city would be, that Sodom and Gomorrah would have a greater chance in the day of judgment than that city. And then we saw as a result of that what hit New Orleans, Hurricane Katrina.
Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm. Brother Kent, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am, brother.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, we are calling you out and asking you to use your inordinate power because the God that we represent wants to crush you and your power. What say you, sir?
Right. Our people are under the mistaken belief that the Jesus referenced in the scripture and the storyline that you read in the New Testament are historical events that have already transpired as written in those texts. The man and the text that you're reading is actually talking about a person that is alive in the world today, that the historical last prophet to the Jews named Jesus prefigured. And when it says in the scripture that people would be persecuted for the namesake of Jesus, and some would be imprisoned, some would be beaten, etc., etc., people should ask themselves, how could that possibly be talking about the people who commonly refer to themselves as Christians in the modern society when no one is going to oppose a person who has accepted the mainstream view of religion, the mainstream view of everything? This is a common view. So no one's going to throw you in prison because the person running the prison is probably a Christian. The person that is the warden is probably a Christian. So something is being introduced right now to the people that the masses of the people have not been aware of. This is the coming of God is a grand introduction. And whenever you want to introduce yourself to a large group, usually somebody might tap the side of a glass or something like that, or ring a bell or do something to grab the attention of a mass of people and then say, can I get everyone's attention? I would like to introduce such and such and so and so. Well, the God has been a world with all of these various cultures, all of these various languages, all of these various schools of thought, all of these various systems of belief. And this, the one God needs to get everyone's attention, cause everyone to lose confidence in what they already had, and cause everyone to simultaneously gain confidence in him at the time of his coming. So he came up with a grand methodology to introduce himself. And it's what you just said in asking your question, that there is an enemy of God that has been allowed to wreak havoc over all of the cultures on the earth, over all of the various schools of thought on the earth. He's gone and he's raised hell among every single people, so that even those natives that are out in the Amazon jungle living in the woods, they even have bulldozers coming through, plowing down the woods that they're leaning over, and they have to stop what they're doing, put their spear down, and pay attention to an enemy that came among them. So once everyone has all been afflicted by an enemy, and everyone has a problem that no one else can solve, and even the rulers are twisted up in problems that they do not have the solution to, these problems are reaching a grand climax of war, conflict, confusion, political unrest. And all that is seen in the Middle East with all of the different countries that are having turmoil, every time you turn on your TV, now it's Turkey, and you see the people of Turkey rising up. You see problems from the systems of things and from the system of rulership. So God basically is using the enemy and his ability to lay the enemy low and expose the enemy for who he is as his method of self-introduction to grab everyone's attention who's all been under this same enemy, and to knock the enemy down like a unknown boxer who comes and beats a world champion that everyone was afraid of, then everybody stops what they're doing and they say, well, who is this? This is the new champion. For 6,000 years, the people of the earth have been under the enemy of God, and the process has started for one, the Holy One, to lay them low. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is laying out in clear, unmistakable language exactly what is transpiring in front of everyone's eyes, and it is a grand introduction where when the enemy of God is laid low, everyone will simultaneously look at who did it, and all of the cultures, all of the schools of thought, all of those things that divided people will fall down, and everyone, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that God Almighty is on scene, that he's not a spook or a spirit, but he is a living man. And in the book of Revelation at the end, you see them singing and talking about the coming of this one, And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has made it plain that he represents that one, and he said to the powerful Jewish scholars, he said, I have more authority in this last series. He said, I have more authority to correct you than you have to correct yourself.
Yes, sir. All praises due to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Brother,
yes,
we're
sir.
Going down to, we got about 10 minutes left, so we're going to try to get everything in. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said this. He said, all of you that are willing to denounce Farrakhan to find favor with your open enemies, you're denouncing yourself and in the process of losing favor with God. What say you, Brother Minister?
Yes, sir, Brother. Again, the minister is drawing the line, Brother, bearing witness to the function of his name, the root.
Yes, sir.
One who distinguishes truth from falsehood. There's no middle ground today. There's no appeasing falsehood today. Either you're with truth or you're against truth. It's very clear and very plain. But based on what my brother was saying previously and what you just said, brother, on the question, I just want to offer this as we close out, if I may. This is from This Is the One.
Take your time.
Brother Jabril Muhammad. And
yes.
This is just sharing with us the identity of what we're dealing with in the men that are called Elijah Muhammad and the man known as Louis Farrakhan, the album minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes,
you read
sir.
On page 288 of This Is the One. At the bottom of that page, the fez on the head of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad symbolizes both the universe and his grasp of her powers. He is the man whom Allah is using to bring an end to this wicked world. He is Christ the Crusher. He is that angel who is described in Revelation 10 as having one foot on land and one foot on water, with power from God in the destruction of this world. Moses only stood on land and used the rod on and over the water. Even though he has tremendous powers, this angel or man is described in Revelation 10 and 5 as lifting up his hands to heaven in prayer to his master, Almighty God Allah. He was foreseen as having great powers, yet he humbly bows to him from whom he was granted wisdom and power. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad outright told me to my face one night in the fall of 1967 here in Phoenix, Arizona, that this man was himself. He went on to sum up that he would be given the power to destroy this world. He was not drunk, nor was he crazy, nor did he state this out of arrogance. Nor did I misunderstand what he said of himself. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made what he said very clear to me that night, of which I already had sufficient proofs respecting his overall identity. This was in November 1967, 2 months after our first discussion on the writings that were to become this book, This Is the One. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told me that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him that when, not if, he saw him again, he would be exercising power that would make one think he was God Almighty if he didn't state the contrary. Notice, there are at least two places in the book of Revelation where the seer of 6,000 years ago, looking down the line of time to this day, fell down, spiritually speaking, at the sight of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It wasn't that the revelator was overawed by the physical aspect of the man he beheld. It was what he saw in the man, his majestic character and power, that overwhelmed him. So we're dealing with a God that had made another God.
That's right.
When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad departed, before he departed, brother, and I can bear witness because I was there when the ministers of the temples at that time in the 70s, 1974. He said, when they asked him about his successor, who will come after me? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, God will come after me. But I'm saying to us, who is this man Farrakhan?
Who is this man Farrakhan?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, God will come after me. And he's sitting in the seat of the Father, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we were told to look at him and listen to him and hear him and to follow him and go wherever he say go. So we, brothers, we are blessed to be living in this time. We are blessed because the prophet said they would give everything that they had to live in the time. Just be a wayfarer on the side of the road
in the time
of this one right here, you know, because he's coming with so much power and so much force from God and so much submission. He's so humble that God gave him all the power except over him himself. So this man, Farrakhan, is in submission to this one that wears that crown that represents the universe. All praises due to Allah.
Thank you, Brother Charles. This is the one we need not look for another. Yes,
that's
sir.
That's right. Yes, sir.
But,
the one
brother,
in the Farrakhan.
That's right,
Farrakhan,
and that's what
you
and
know?
That's what that's what the messenger Messiah said.
Yes, sir.
That's right, brother Willie. You got about 3 minutes,
sir,
so I can give brother Kenneth some time to be fair to him. What say you, sir? Just go on and get a talking point and speak from your heart. Go right ahead, sir.
Well, I'll go to what the minister said to the Twitter on where he told those of us who are engaged on his social media that. When you see people hurling profanity at him, that does not give us a right to stoop down to their level. And I say back again to that point that I opened up with, the importance of us obeying the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Look at the way he handles those people who to get to that level. And it made me think about what it says about the angel Michael in the book of Jude, that when he was engaged with a battle with Satan over the body of Moses, it was really like over the believers of Moses who follow Moses, he still didn't hurl curse words or stoop down to a low level to even engage with his enemy. And we can learn that from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I remain principled.
All praise is due to Allah. Thank you, Brother Willie. Thank you very much, sir. Brother Kenneth?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You got about 3 minutes, sir. I know you can do it. Give us a talking point. Give
yes,
us a talking point, sir.
Allah.
Close this out. Yes, sir.
I would just close out with... you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I would just say to the listening audience that if you look at the history of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, you have to ask yourself, number one, why would all of the powerful, all of the wealthy, the news media, the government, put everything that they have against this man for such a long period of time? Why? Just ask yourself the question. That should spark enough curiosity to want to find out what this man is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, to ask yourself, if they threw everything at this man and he's still standing at 80 years old and still teaching hard, preaching hard,
longer than ever,
how is it that he was able to withstand the best attacks from his enemies? And then ask yourselves, how is it that we have no record on the earth of a ministry like this? You do not have a man that has been preaching for 50 years with 20,000 over here, 70,000 over there, 40,000 over here, teaching a people the way that this man has been teaching us. You can't go anywhere in the country on this earth and find where they had a man preaching like that, preaching for so long, and preaching such a powerful message. So you have to ask yourself, what is this? Is this even worth me investigating? Is it worth my time? And we humbly suggest to you that this beautiful minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is worth you tuning in this Saturday and listening to the time and what must be done.
All praise is due to Allah. I want to thank all of the brothers. Brother Stu, Minister Charles, thank you so much, sir, for coming on and sharing
that. Thank you so much for offering
Yes, brother, that wealth of information in Brother Jabril's book, We Need Not Look for Another, that is priceless. Brother Willie, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Willie, thank you, sir. And I want to thank you. And how are you making out in that city with the voting as far as what you were doing in the streets out there?
Right now we're still in the process of trying to raise funds to get a billboard. Well, you know, when we had the billboard up, by Allah's grace, man, we've been able to squash 14 beefs. And so we're right now in the process of stealing fundraising. So we have to put up, God willing, for the summer.
Well, brother, you are doing the real work, brother, and I thank Allah much, so much for you, sir, and I hope that you can come back again, brother, and share that wealth of knowledge that you have, brother. And thank you again for coming out. Brother Kennedy, sir, need not say anything else. You're always there. I appreciate you, sir, for coming out.
Oh, thank you as well, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, brothers.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Praise
Allah. Wa alaykum salam. Brother Romney, let's ride, sir. Wa alaykum salam. Well, we want to thank all of our guests for being with us tonight. Sister A.T. Hammett from Austin, Texas. Sister Dawn Muhammad from the mighty Muhammad's Mosque number 25 in North New Jersey. Student Minister Charles Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque 26 Phoenix, Arizona. And our brother, Student Minister William Muhammad from Muhammad's Mosque 46 in New Orleans, Louisiana. And of course, our brother, the attorney, Kenneth Muhammad of Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be back next week for part two of our series, Courting. It's not dating. It's how the righteous find a spouse. Don't forget this Saturday, the time and what must be done, part 23, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Go to www.noi.org at 6 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Also, Sunday, the Nation of Islam webcast at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time at www.noi.org. For information on the singles retreat, go to www.healthyrelationships.noi.org. The 9th annual singles retreat this year is August 22nd to the 25th in St. Louis, Missouri. Early bird fee is only $230. If you pay by June 15th, that is. After that, it's $250 per person. On Twitter, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says these words, quote, "Bad company will cause you to do bad things. So you've got to be careful of the company you want to be around." End quote. So join the Nation of Islam and find the nearest mosque or study group near you. Just call the National Center in Chicago, Illinois at 773-324-6000. We, the believers of Islam, who love you, dear apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Original salute to our Supreme Captain Mustafa Farrakhan and the National Security Team. So let's go, souls. Let's push. Let's keep them boots on the ground all over America and throughout the world. Let's get them suits nice and clean. Let's get them shoes sharp. White shirts tied. Fast moving, fast thinking. Right down to the modern times. Inshallah, we want to see you and hear from you next week. God willing, as we leave you, Allahu Akbar. As-salamu alaykum.